Did case number one show up?
Yes. So he'll have to be sworn in also.
Oh, correct. Thank you for pointing that out. Case number one, 20-147.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Somebody who came in late is case 20-147.
Sorry, he's hard to hear.
It should be. Oh, me too.
Well, he's here. Police department has these hands.
Yes.
Sir, before you say what you have to say. Raise your right hand so that I can administer the oath. Good morning. Do you solemnly swear or affirm, as the case may be, that the evidence you shall give here today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or on penalties of perjury?
I do.
Counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Sure. Good morning. My name is Matthew Reed. I am an attorney for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, and I represent the issuing authority in this matter.
Good morning.
Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Briefly, yes, I would. Thank you. The appellant was arrested on or about July 10th, 2019, and charged with 6 counts of reckless endangerment in the first degree and 6 counts of intentional failure to report a lost firearm. As a result of the arrest,
if I could check.
No, this is his opening statement. This is not sir, this is not evidence. This is an opening statement. You have a chance to make an opening statement as well.
The arrest remained pending before the Court of Connecticut. However, at the time the arrest warrant was issued, the judge ordered very specifically that the appellant have no possession of any permit or any firearms, and therefore on the 11th of July 2019, in accordance with the order of the court, the permit of the appellant was revoked. That order remains in effect to this date, and the case remains pending before the court. It's on a trial list with no set trial date that I'm aware of. Thank you.
And just for the record, I did confirm that the case is on the trial list with no date set for trial at this time at the judicial level. Sir, just so you're aware, you weren't here when I did my introduction. You can remain anonymous. You don't have to tell us your name. We're going to refer to you as the appellant. You can tell us your name if you want, but this is a public hearing, so if you do wish to remain anonymous, you may.
Thank you.
All right, would you like to make an opening statement?
And excuse me, I was going to object to evidence, and the gentleman had no evidence. He has no basis in personal knowledge or any admissible records for evidence, and he kept it restricted, and I thank him, and excuse me, I do need to push the objection issue before the board. Would you like an opening statement from me?
You can if you like.
Okay. My name is Richard Lee Whitmore Brown. I was sworn into the bar in Connecticut in 1977. In 1977, I had behind me 6 years enlisted in the Navy. I was drafted into the Army, and my dad made sure I was put into the Navy. Spent 6 years in the Navy. The Navy taught me Hebrew and Portuguese, and I was stationed around Africa and in the Middle East for the ensuing years. I got out of the Navy. I was recruited by the National Security Agency. I worked there. My spouse at the time did not like me spying on her country. I met her in Israel. So she made me quit even law school, which I did. I'm not going to burden you with an extensive history. I had a commendation from the National Security Agency for outstanding performance, The man who signed it was a man who broke the Japanese code during World War II, Mr. Raven. Hangs on the wall of my office. I take things seriously. Never been arrested, never been charged with anything up to this point. I have four boys. The boys have taught me a lot about guns because little boys are the most dangerous thing in the world as far as I'm concerned. And I went through a progression of training them.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken on behalf of the NRA and taught gun safety classes. I have there's a gun safety program for kids. I ran the Boy Scouts for a few years and taught the Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts the Eddie Eagle gun safety program. This is back in the 1990s when my kids were that age.
Sorry, Ken.
I spent a lot of money on those programs. In fact, I spoke at a Stanford Friends of NRA banquet on gun safety and trying to get people to buy and use the Eddie Eagle gun safety course. I have at one point was a libertarian, and as a libertarian, as you take an oath of nonviolence. So I've taken an oath, and I still hold by it. I didn't go out and get a gun. I never had a gun until I started representing a police union. I worked for a police union for years. I wanted to see what was going on, and I was afraid of guns. So I went out and got trained with the best then available gun training available for municipal cops and the public at large. That was Jeff Cooper training, and I attended three courses. There were 4-day courses each, and I attended a fifth course on gun training. I sponsored SWAT cops to gun training. I started carrying a gun after I got trained and licensed. When I did that, I carried pretty much every day. My view of the situation is that when you have boys around the house, one gun, it's on your hip all the time, and you never let it out of your sight. My conservative views toward carrying guns and gun safety is exemplified. This is my youngest son, Wyatt. By the time he came around, I didn't let any toy guns in the house. I wouldn't let my kids near a TV, and I wouldn't let them use a first-person shooter video game because they teach that trigger finger reflex, which is too dangerous. In fact, he would go to the spoon drawer, take out a spoon, and walk around the house going, pew, 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 because I wouldn't let him have a gun. We wound up missing a lot of spoons out of the silverware drawer, I'll tell you that.
Excuse me, is this opening statement?
This is opening statement. Sir, if you could kind of keep this to the matter of the appeal.
Fair enough. Well, the appeal, there's always this background aspect to an appeal, which is, mine is on statutory interpretation basis. But there's that background suitability, so I'm trying to give you enough so that you, as members of the board, know if you do vote to sustain my appeal, it will be done.
I think what the attorney is saying is, this is opening statement, what are you going to prove? And then eventually you get to explain the suitability issues. But this is supposed to be just opening statement.
Fair enough.
You'll have your opportunity to present anything you want.
Then I will keep it short right now. Thank you.
Can I just ask one question of the chair? And I believe Attorney Reed stated that there was a part of the conditions of release is that the appellant cannot have a cannabis pistol permit?
Yes, if I may, if you refer to page 4 of the arrest warrant application and the arrest warrant that was at issue in this matter, it's in the administrative record at this point, and so I don't need to offer that entire document. I'll give the appellant a copy of page 4 that I'm referring to just so he understands. These are the handwritten notes of the judge who set bail in this matter at $500,000, and the non-financial conditions of release are handwritten there by the judge: possess no permits, possess no firearms. And that was signed by the judge on July 10th, 2019, when this was issued. This packet is part of the administrative record, which was copied to the appellant, and as far as I know, there has been no objection to this, so the underlying assumption is that this is an accurate record of the activities of the court with regard to the arrest warrant in this case.
So that's imaginative argument. As far as he knows, there's no record. As far as I know, there's no record. There's no record here of this record, this arrest record being put into evidence.
It's in evidence, sir. There's been no objection.
That's because I appeared for the first time. I called.
What counsel is saying is you were sent a package of these documents that have been submitted to the board and they're in evidence at this time. Furthermore, they're public record that are part of an active case in the court. As I confirmed yesterday, your court is set for trial. A date has not been set, but you're on the trial list.
That's correct.
So these charges have not been nullified, they're not erased. These are public criminal records.
Agreed.
But I could ask you, is there a conditions of your release that says you're not to possess firearms?
The Stanford police seized my license.
Correct.
Before the judge acted.
Okay. But when you were arraigned, sir.
If I could please address this record.
Yes,
I have none of this. None of this is in the record. I called yesterday to be sure that what I had received was the only thing that I had received, and if I could have marked into evidence what is supposedly in evidence, I have never gotten it. I've never gotten any indication it's in this record.
Counsel, how was this?
And
was it mailed?
This would be information. I believe this is part of the administrative process.
It's said to us, but it's up to the issuing authority to notify the appellants also.
Right.
So,
my question is, if this is, assuming it's not part of this case, but if it's an accurate record from the judge signing this, do we have the authority to issue a pistol permit if there is as a condition of release,
right,
in which he cannot have a pistol permit? That's what I'm just asking the chair.
Right.
If I could take a step back.
I don't want to muddy the waters.
Well,
what I'm asking for is.
It wasn't addressed to you, sir.
Requirement that I be put on notice. I haven't been.
Sir.
Challenged this gentleman.
Sir, the question was not directed at you. Please, have some order. Simply what he was asking is if there is, in fact, I don't know if we've established this yet, but if there is a condition of your release that says you're not to have a permit or a firearm, are we enabled as a body under the statute to grant your appeal? That's the question. And I will entertain other people's comments on this, but I believe in the past, it has been told to us, if there is such an order, we could theoretically grant the appeal, but the permit would not be returned. That's what I remember in the past.
That is the way I understand. I don't see how the state can issue a permit when you have an act of court of right saying you can't.
They can't.
It's almost a jurisdictional argument. We don't have the jurisdiction to issue the...
Well, we can't force the permit to be... We could sustain his appeal, but we would not be enabled to force the return of the permit because the Superior Court trumps us, is the answer. Okay.
And the other issue is that there are pending criminal charges that are disqualified.
Yes. And so he's, right, you know, right now is currently federally prohibited from, you know, being, you know, having a firearm anyway, or being transferred a firearm. I'm just the point.
Actually, just with the new Supreme Court case law, not necessarily.
Okay. Just getting back to the now evidentiary issue. Do we know that this was sent to him?
Could I have this marked, please?
We have it.
Yes, but this is the one where I got it by certified envelope.
I would say, regardless of whether it was sent to him, it's a standing order from the court. It'd be nice to settle that, but it's a standing order of the court regardless.
Whether I have it marked or not. I have here.
You can tell me what you have.
This is the State Board of Firearms Permit Examiner's Issuing Authority Questionnaire. And this has got an original blue stamp on it. And it's got one, two, and it's signed by Brendiana Lorenda, batch 1087. And this is the only thing that I have got from the issuing authority.
All right, and the date of the postmark, sir?
June 1, 2022.
Okay, and this document. Sir, if you look to page 2, see, we have this. I just want to confirm in the record that what you're showing us is the same thing we have. You have indicated that Trooper Warrenda sent it to you. It says on page 2, date of denial or revocation 7/11/2019 towards the bottom. Is that the same document you have?
That is correct.
Okay, so that is part of the record, and the record will reflect that you are stating that's the only thing you've received relative to this case.
That is correct. This case not being a broader case, but this case being the issuing authority information that's supposed to be supplied.
Okay.
And that's not only because that's the way you're supposed to do business, but also because of the constitutional implications of basically the right to a fair hearing. I have a right to know what's in the record against me. And the way that...
Sir, I'll tell you for the record what we have is that it looks like you're represented by counsel in the Superior Court case, Attorney Williams. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would imagine if he hasn't shared it with you, he at least has it in his file, but I'd be happy to pass my packet forward to you. This is part of the record.
Represented by him in this record.
Correct.
And that's fine. What he shares with me is our business.
That's fine.
Privilege.
But this is a public record of an active criminal case on which you are scheduled to go to trial at some point, whether you do or not. This case has not been erased. We will consider the evidence in this for this hearing. you'd like to appeal at a later point, you can, but that's my rule. If you'd like to look at it, I can pass my package forward to you. I'll come to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I didn't have in my packet the document that the attorney is referencing.
It's here.
The 45-page document? Didn't you say it was 45 pages?
It was page four of the arrest warrant application.
Okay. But that was not sent, you didn't send that to the appellant?
I don't have information to either confirm or deny that. My understanding of the normal business process is that we send the packet to the board and we send a copy of the packet to the appellant. I don't have a witness here to testify to that right now. If the board, if we need to do that, I can certainly arrange for that to happen. However, I don't know that it's necessarily relevant because the appellant is aware that these conditions of release exist. There's no reason why the court wouldn't have made that crystal clear to him upon his release on bond. The judge is usually very specific about what the conditions of release are. And he has surrendered all of his weapons, and his permit has been surrendered as well.
Thank you.
I didn't surrender my weapons. They were seized.
Okay. Just to clarify, sir, if there is evidence that at the time you were arraigned, there was a conditions of release that stated you were not to possess a permit or firearms. Do you recall that from back in 2019?
I do.
Was that modified at any point, or are you still subject to those conditions?
Not modified.
So no. it's still in effect? Okay.
Based on the documents you have regarding the conditions of release and the appellant's own statement regarding that those conditions have not been modified, that the appellant cannot possess the firearms, but more specifically, pistol permit, I make a motion to find in favor of the issuing authority based on the conditions of, this is a, I don't want to say it's a moot case, but the appellant cannot possess a pistol permit.
Seconded.
Okay, there's been a motion made by Colonel Oberturf to find for the issuing authority based on the current conditions of release set forth in the Superior Court case. 11:21 a.m. That motion has been seconded by Mr. Gray. Is there any discussion on the motion?
I would just add that the charge is somehow disqualified.
Other comments?
Well, is one of the maxims of the law, as we know, it's a law doesn't require a useless act. And if we granted the permit and we can't grant the permit, it's a useless act. And so I have to say that the motion makes sense to me.
So if I could, Chief Rosenzweig said how the board had...
So there's a motion pending. The discussion is now at the board. Is there any further comments?
May I be heard any further today if this passes?
I'm sorry. I would like to hear what you say in the sense of the problem.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to...
Did I say something incorrect?
No. When last time that you spoke, you talked about how you can have the hearing, you know, overturn the appeal, but you hold permit for order report until that issue is decided. Until there is not a scintilla of evidence that I am unsuitable, there is no legitimate statute that permits you to take my permit while it's pending in court and hasn't been decided, because the only basis for acting here is that I did something wrong. And that's an open question. Those issues haven't been decided. Even this arrest warrant wasn't prepared by anybody who was a witness to any of the events. It was prepared by police officers who prepare arrest warrants, so they bring the probable cause items, and they put anything in the report they want, whether or not they have personal knowledge of it. And on its face, they do not. I have been tangling with the state of Connecticut for many years. In 1994...
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, the state has to...
We have a pending motion, yes.
I'm sorry. We object to continuing dialogue, and there's a motion on the floor, the discussion should be ready.
Again, I'm creating, the motion's based on the conditions of release signed by a Supreme Court judge. That's the basis of the motion, in which the appellant cannot possess a Connecticut pistol.
I think that's a clear record. So the motion is based on the pending current conditions of release, of which there is no dispute as to anybody here today. Are there any further comments? Based on the fact that this is what it is, I'm going to call the roll. And of course, I need my case back.
I'm sorry. I'm not that mobile.
That's fine.
Whatever disagreements we have, it doesn't go down to this.
I understand. Thank you. So, a vote for the motion will be in favor of the issuing authority. Chief Rosenzweig. Colonel Overture.
For the motion.
Mr. Grant.
For the motion.
Attorney Sinetti.
For the motion.
Dr. Conrad.
For the motion.
And Chair votes in favor of the motion. The motion passes unanimously at 11:24 a.m. Thank you, gentlemen.